For the rest of you, you should have your spot marked at Exodus 20:12. And so we're going to talk about the fifth commandment today, which is honor your parents. And so read with me one more time just this commandment. It says, honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now, if you notice, this is actually the first command that's attached to a promise. All the other commands leading up to this, no promise attached to it. But this command actually has a promise. But I want to kind of give you a little understanding of kind of the flow of the Ten Commandments before we kind of get into this commandment. The first four deal with primarily our relationship with God, right? It's talking about he's the one and only God, that no other gods before him. Kind of the Sabbath is about our relationship with God. So all of those commands are dealing with our relationship with God. Well, the other six are really dealing with how does our relationship with God then filter into our relationships with others? And so you can kind of say it this way. The first four are vertical. The next six are horizontal. And this is kind of starting the next six, talking about how does our relationship with God then filter out in our relationships with each other. And then it starts with the most basic of all human relationships, which is just a parent and their child. And so what does that relationship look like? But I'll argue this, that no other relationship probably that we have today and since the beginning of time, no other relationship really forms our relationship with God like our relationships with our parents. You know, while we're young, our parents are basically what I call our stand-in for God. In the home, it's where we learn authority. It's where we learn responsibility. It's where we learn right from wrong. It's where we feel where we first feel what is to be valued and to be cherished and what it means to be loved unconditionally. It's where we feel safety. It's where we feel security. And that's really just supposed to all just point us to God, right? We're teaching them right from wrong. Our children can't understand necessarily all the things about God. So we're standing in, teaching them those things and kind of representing God in the household to them, ultimately push them to the God that's just standing behind you in the first place. So when the home is messed up, then our relationship with God is affected. Did you know that a lot of famous atheists like Freud and Marx and Russell and O'Hare and Nietzsche and Camus all came from messed up relationships with their father? And a lot of them note that because of their messed up relationships with their father, that caused a skewed view of God, which internally then created them to claim that there is no God at all. So your relationships with your parents have a profound impact on how you view God. And so if you had a really demanding, maybe never satisfying dad, then you may end up thinking that way about God and you may end up rejecting him. Or if you had a dad that was unfaithful, then you may have a real problem with God, that believing that God will never leave you or forsake you because of what you experience in your own household. So there's a study that came out a while back, but it basically demonstrated that a lot of the things that we deal with as adults primarily go back to the things that we dealt with in our childhood. It's if you had an emotionally distant dad, it said that you may have a girl then that craves that attention from a boyfriend or a husband. And if you're a guy, maybe if you had a distant dad, then that may mean that you're craving to have success so that maybe you can get your dad's attention that you never had in the first place. So listen, you may have been raised up in a messed up home. I don't know the type of home that everybody in here was grew up in. And you may have never come to terms with maybe what has happened in your home and how it's affecting you. But what we're going to see here today is how honoring our parents and how the relationship a child has with our parents, with their parents, has a profound impact, not only in the child's life, but in the society's life as well. And we're going to get to all that and what it means. So with that introduction, let's kind of wrap our minds around what this command is telling us today. So again, this command does have a promise, but it also has a directive, all right? The directive is honor your parents, right? Honor your father and your mother. It's clear, it's straightforward, it shouldn't be hard to grasp. But which means it's saying that basically it's saying you should recognize your parents for the stand-in that they are for God for the temporary time in your life. And so you should have a reverence, you should have a respect for them because they represent that role. And we're going to talk more about what that means in just a minute. But first, let me kind of get into the promise just for a little bit. The promise that you will live long in the land, right? And so that sounds like a really good promise to me. But really, this is not talking about that you're just going to live a long life if you obey your parents your whole life. That's not the promise here, all right? It's not saying, hey, if you're really nice to your parents and you're going to go cancer-free or you're going to quadruple your stock portfolio, that's not what this is promising. He's basically telling the whole nation of Israel that if you honor your parents, then the community will flourish and their nation will thrive. In the next chapter, actually, Moses goes on to say that rebellion and deep disrespect towards your parents actually is punishable by death. Now, that seems kind of harsh to us. You may be saying, well, that's kind of harsh. That seems like if a parent-child is having a difficult relationship, that should be a private matter. It shouldn't be a public matter. It's like, Moses, you're taking that a little too far there. But you need to understand that they did not actually see this offense of not honoring your parents as a private offense. They see it as a national problem. It was a public crime. The community saw an assault on the family as an assault on the public good. Because if you unravel the family, then they saw it as unraveling society. So an attack on it was actually an attack on the whole nation. Because as the family goes, so goes the nation. And so God says to honor your parents because the family unit is where he's going to teach our children about himself. And so there's the promise. Through strong and healthy families, he's going to have a thriving nation. And the same is true. Listen, as the family goes, so goes our culture. That's just the reality of it. When there's strong and healthy, godly families, then we'll have a strong, healthy, godly nation. It's just going to be the fact. When the family suffers, the nation's going to suffer. If you want to change the nation, change the family. That's just the reality. From a holistic standpoint. So let me get to the point, go a little deeper into the parent's role, as I talked about earlier, as a stand-in for God. As a parent, you're basically supposed to teach them what God sees as right is wrong, right? So you're supposed to teach them, okay, God says this is right, God says this is wrong, and through you, you're displaying that in the way that you discipline your kids, in the way that you talk to your kids. They're supposed to feel from you God's love and acceptance as well. So they can't understand, wrap their minds around God's love, but they're supposed to see it in a smaller version in you and your love and acceptance of them. You teach them to honor God's authority by honoring your authority. So your main concern as a parent is getting them to respect and honor God by the way they respect and honor you. So when your children disrespect or disobey you, then you don't get upset with them because you got disrespected, but you get upset because they're learning to disrespect the God that's behind you. And ultimately, that's the point of parenting. You're wanting them to one day let them go to where they can then follow God, and you've taught them well to where you were just a stand-in temporarily until they got old enough to understand that they no longer, that all you're teaching them is just to want to honor and respect God through the way that you're parenting them. Think about it for a minute. When you get angry at your child, what's it usually about? Is it because inconvenienced you? Did they annoy you or embarrass you? Or maybe they broke something that they shouldn't have broke? Or is it that, you know, is it that they inconvenienced you to a certain extent? Or is it in it as kind of a godly anger? Is it a righteous anger? Is it a loving anger? Anger that basically that they disrespected and dishonored the God that you're representing in that time. Our reaction to that their behavior should never be because of how it affects us, but it really should be about how their hearts are trending towards God. Because if they're disrespecting you, then in your mind you're saying, okay, they're disrespecting me, so eventually they're going to have problems with their respect and their honoring towards God. And that's where the whole heart issue you're having to get towards. So if you're a temporary stand-in for God, then that means there's a place where your authority begins and there's also a place where your authority ends. And God's authority begins in their life. Because all you're doing is training them up for his purposes and then handing them off. And that's ultimately all we're doing as parents. You're training them up in God, you have authority over them, and then your authority ends and God's authority begins in their life and they're beginning to follow him. So as parents, we really should rejoice when our kids grow up and come independent, and especially if they're obeying God and making spiritually wise choices, because that was ultimately your job, right? Your job was to get them to that point. So if they're making wise and great and obeying God and making great choices, and you've kind of handled them off and they're no longer under your authority, that's a good thing. That's what was supposed to happen in their life. Now let me speak to everyone here who has had parents, which should be everybody in this room. And so honor your parents. What does that really mean? Right? Okay, we can say honor your parents, but let's put more kind of meat to what that actually means. Does it mean that you just do what they say all the time? Does that what it mean? Do you obey them like a servant does? But what if they don't approve of what you do, like who you marry, or maybe some choices that you're making in life? Or what about like when you're raising your own children and your parents don't approve of that, or so forth? Or what does it honoring mean in that situation? Or how do you honor your parents as an adult? Like, what does all that mean? Those are all questions that I've just heard throughout my years, like as far as like, what does honoring your parents mean? And what if your parents are asking you to do something that is against what Scripture says? You know, like how does that work? How can I honor my parents in that situation? And there's a lot more questions that probably could come up from what does it mean to honor your parents? Now, I just want to give you a general description of what it means to honor your parents. And here it is. To honor your parents is to recognize the institution of parenthood as the temporary stand-in for God that it is and respect it accordingly. So let me give you two implications from that definition. First, when you live at home, you obey them, and for all your life, you respect them. So let me repeat that. When you live at home as a child, you obey them. But for all your life, you respect them. Now that brings up a few questions, and I know this. You may ask, but what if they don't deserve my respect? What if I have bad parents? Like, and granted, there are bad ones out there, okay? Like, and I don't know how you were raised. Like, you're telling me it's like, Danny, they were bad, manipulative, controlling people. They really were not loving at all. Like, my family grew up where, like, not my family, but you know, you may be telling me it's like, we had no hugs in our household. I felt no love in our household type of thing. Like, what happens in those situations? I don't want to minimize anything that you've experienced in your life because it's real and it's hard. And overcoming those things as an adult is actually extremely hard. But even if you struggle to respect them as an individual, you can respect the institution that they represent. Which means that you don't have to approve or condone what they do, and you don't always have to submit to what they tell you to do, especially if it's against God's word, but you still have to show a level of respect for the office that they hold. Because whether they're good or bad, God has given them that office. He's given them a child to be a parent. And even in their bad parenting, God still brought you to a point to where you could understand and know the knowledge of the gospel and respond to him accordingly. So even if you can't respect or condone their actions, you can still respect and honor the office that they're holding in your life. Because when you honor your parents, you're honoring the God behind your parents. Who are just temporary stand-ins for you when you were a child and even as an adult. And you may ask, but what if they're telling me to do something that I know God doesn't want me to do? Remember, Parenthood is just a temper is given to you as a temporary fill-in for God. That means the real point is obeying God. So once you're doing that, you're fulfilling the purpose of this commandment. The purpose of this commandment is actually to get you to obey God. So the way that you honor your parents the most is by growing up and obeying God, even if they don't want you to do that. Even if you have parents like, I don't want you to go to church, I don't want you to honor God, the best way to honor them is to actually obey God. Because they don't know that that's the purpose of honoring parents, but God does, and you're actually fulfilling the fifth commandment by doing that. That's why Jesus made the statement like this in Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father or mother, he cannot be my disciple. Now, hate's a pretty strong word, right? Like, how do you reconcile that statement with this command? How do you say, well, if anybody has to come to me, he's got to hate his father or mother. Well, how do you do that and actually honor him at the same time? Was he overturning this commandment? No, he was actually fulfilling it. Excuse me. He was showing you that ultimately the point is learning to obey him. And in light of our obedience to God, our love and obedience to him should be so great that it kind of, in our other relationships, it kind of looks like hate. Because we're obeying and loving him so much greater than we're loving and obeying something else. It kind of looks like that. It's like, you don't love me and you don't like me like you love God. It's like, well, that's kind of the point. He's first and primary in my life. And it's not saying you hate everything else, but it kind of looks that way. Because there's a certain point where parenthood is just the temporary filling, and then they take a back seat to God. So that's our commitment, that we make a commitment to him ultimately, and everything else takes a back seat. It's like this. Say my kids to go over and play at a neighbor's house. And I tell my kids, you know, you have to do what Miss So-and-so tells you to do when you go over there. You better listen and you better obey, right? Well, let's say at 3, I was like, when it hits 3 o'clock, you come back home. Okay? And that's my command to my children. I tell them at 3 o'clock, you come back home. They're over that person's house. Well, Miss So-and-so says, as they go, Miss So-and-so, hey, it's 3 o'clock, I need to go back home. And Miss So-and-so says, well, she says that I should stay a little bit longer. She says she doesn't want me to go home. She wants me to stay here. So what's my child to do? Well, I expect my children to tell her to shove it where the sun don't shine and to obey my command. Because their role is to, see, they're supposed to obey me and not obey Miss So-and-so in that regard. Because I gave the command, and my command trumps her command. Right? So when they're over at their house, they're to obey me. Because my child's obedience to this parent should be greater than their obedience to that parent. And the same is true with God. Their obedience to him should be greater than their obedience to me. Listen, the greatest honor you can do for your parents is to obey God. Because in doing so, you are honoring the institution of parenthood and fulfilling the purpose of this command. Now, let's be honest. Some of you have never been able to submit. Some of us just struggle with authority, right? As a teenager, to your parents, to your bosses, to your teachers, to the police, to the tax authorities, maybe you just struggle with authority. The problem is, this is an attitude you probably also have towards God. That whole way of life and thinking has to change for you to be able to obey and submit to God. And there's a more fundamental question at work here, and here it is. Who's in charge of your life? You're either a person under authority, or you're a person who's trying to make their own rules. And that's just the general consensus. And I'm talking about Christians too. A lot of us want Christianity on our own terms, right? Your whole life you've always been in charge and you've surrendered to Christ, but it may just be an illusion. And here's a fundamental question. Have you surrendered all of your life to Christ? Every aspect of it? Is God in charge of who you marry? Is God in charge of how you handle your marriage? Is God in charge how you deal with your finances? The lordship of Christ is either total in your life or it's an illusion. Listen, also honoring your parents means that you have to understand the cycle of life as well. Listen, God has placed both parents and children in that cycle with responsibilities to one another in various stages. Here's what I mean. Listen, when a baby is born, he or she is totally dependent on the parent, right? Like, we've all been there, right? You don't remember it, but you've been there, all right? Listen, you feed them, you dress them, you wipe them, and literally all a baby's role is to take the milk that you're feeding it and to create neon colors on the way out. Like, that is all the baby's role is in their life. And so, and the parent's responsibility is to clean that up. But as the child grows, they just become more independent from you, right? And that's the purpose of it. And hopefully by the time that he or she is in high school, you're still not wiping their little hineys when they're on the toilet, you know? Hopefully that's over by then, you know? But while the child is growing up and moving towards independence, actually the parent is beginning to move towards dependence. They're moving in the opposite direction. So at a certain point, the parents become dependent on the child that they actually raised. You even see this in the life of Jesus. Even on the cross, in the last hour of his life, Jesus was concerned with who was going to take care of his mom. And so he asked his buddy John to make sure that his mom was taken care of while he was gone. Listen, it is the God-ordained circle of life. Parents take care of children when they're young, and children take care of the parents when they're older. It's just the circle of life. It's how God created it. Honoring our parents means that you make sure in their old age that they're comfortable in their environment, they still feel like part of the family, and you communicate over and over again that they're loved. And so one more place that I want to go with this command is that ultimately Jesus fulfills this commandment. Jesus is where you can gain the trust to submit to God. Listen, the point of this whole commandment is honestly just submitting to God. You want to honor your parents, you do so by submitting to God. Like, that's the ultimate purpose of this. Many of us don't trust God, so we won't submit to him. And maybe that was because of your parents. You think life is better the way that you run it, and you think God's going to ruin your life. But think about it. The only one to ever perfectly obey God was Jesus. He was the one who actually obeyed this command perfectly. And yet, when he should have heard, "You are my son and I'm proud of you," he actually heard, "Depart from me because of your iniquity," because he was taking on our sin. You see, because of Jesus, now we can have a relationship with our Father ultimately. Our ultimate Father, our Heavenly Father. Listen, the God who calls you to submit to him is calling you because he loves you. And he showed that to you through his son, Jesus. Listen, some of you resist the authority of God because you don't trust him. If Jesus could trust God with his plan for his life, and which was to die for you, then you could trust God with your life. Because he's not calling you to do what Jesus did. He's calling you to obey him, to submit to him. Listen, if this is what he would do, then why wouldn't you trust him? Listen, you don't think he can handle your problems? Listen, God knows what you're dealing with, and he can help you with your problems in your time of need. Listen, if you don't trust him, it's just because you really don't know him. Because if you knew him, you would trust him. Listen, in Jesus, we find the love and acceptance we've searched for all along. Even if you've had great parents, even if you have wonderful parents, you're like, "Danny, that, like, I couldn't have asked for better parents." Even with that great example, you'll find greater love and greater acceptance in God and in Christ than you would ever find in great parents. That's the beautiful thing about this. Even as great as your parents were, they still weren't as good as God in his role as your father. But be thankful that you had parents that loved you in such a way that pointed you to the greater love that they could find in Him. Listen, you looked at your parents and you looked out for love and for affection and tenderness. And listen, maybe you didn't receive that. I'm here to tell you that even though you didn't receive that in them, you can receive that in a heavenly Father who loves and is willing to give that to you if you'll just believe and submit to Him. Listen, the identity and approval you've always been looking for isn't even in your parents. You find it in God. You find it in Christ. Although it's nice, like I'm not gonna dispute, like it's nice when we find it in our parents, right? It makes you feel good. But ultimately, their acceptance isn't the acceptance that we're wanting. Our acceptance is the acceptance we need from God. The Apostle John said this, "What an incredible kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." That's ultimately what we want to be. We just want to be one of His children, to experience the heavenly, the love from our Heavenly Father that we are so desperately wanting and needing in our life. Listen, in Jesus, you can find the tenderness, the affection, and the approval that you've always craved. Your parents will disappoint you. No matter how great of a parent you had or have right now, they're going to disappoint you because they're not perfect. But you know what? God never will. And you were created for God. So each of you, even if you don't believe, there's a longing for our eternal Father that's in heaven. And some of you today just need to forgive your parents. Maybe you've had damaged relationships with them, and maybe it's just not been good. And maybe it's time for you to let it go. And can I tell you what that will do? Listen, that's going to free you up in your life to where you're not harboring bitterness, you're not harboring anger anymore, but you can forgive them. Doesn't mean you have to accept and condone everything that they're done in your life or are doing in your life. But it's going to free you up so that you can follow God more closely. And in His love and in His acceptance, you can find the power to actually forgive maybe the broken relationships that you have with your parents. You see, let me tell you something I've learned about forgiveness. The only way to forgive someone is when you consider the wound that they have inflicted on you not fatal. So many times when we are hurt by other people, we kind of take that wound and we think it's fatal, right? We think it's there's no way to come back from it, right? That wound is so deep and so hard that there's no way for me to rebound from it. We view it as fatal. And for some of you, you may have viewed your wound with your parents as fatal. But in Christ, you can find the freedom from that wound by finding the tenderness and the affirmation that you have so longed for in Him. And in Christ, you can find what you crave the most. And in Christ, you can find what you're supposed to represent. You see, this commandment is teaching us that honoring our parents is a way to learn to honor God ultimately. To honor Him because He is the one true God and we don't put anything before Him. So see how this is connecting with the first and second commandment, that ultimately, we want to show everyone that He's the one true God, and we do that by the way that we parent and by the way that we raise our children, and then our children show that by the way that they honor parents and showing that God is the most important thing in their life, that He's ultimate, that He's the one true God. And so honoring your parents is showing that God is the ultimate thing in your life. And parents, that's the greatest thing that you can see from your children is that when they say, "God, I'm yours, and I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do." That's the ultimate way to honor God and to honor your parents, is to show that He's the one true God worthy of your life. And so we want to teach our kids what it means to honor us so that in turn, one day they honor God. So maybe you're a parent here today and you say, "Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I've dropped the ball, Danny. My kids don't honor me. They may not even honor God. And I'm just going to say to you, there's grace." You know what? You weren't the perfect parent. And even if you were better, you still wouldn't have been the perfect parent. Listen, you have a Heavenly Father who is perfect, though. And your mistake with your children is not fatal either. You can be forgiven of that as well, and there can be restoration with your children as well. It doesn't mean that it's going to be an easy road to restoration, but there can be restoration there. Because what I know is God can fix what's broken. And He can fix your relationship with your children, even if it's broken. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I've cut communication with my parents because I'm like, I just don't want to deal with them anymore. Maybe you can find the forgiveness of your heart in your heart to forgive your parents. And I'm not saying you just need to go live with them again or whatever. You know, I'm not saying go that far. But what I'm saying is you can begin to mend that relationship and have healthy discussions of what's going on in your life and how what has gone off the rails in your relationship with your parents. And begin to mend that, because again, God can mend what's broken. Well, maybe today all of us need to recommit our lives in a sense of, you know what, maybe I need to honor my parents better. And the way that you honor them better is by showing your honor to God most and foremost. And maybe it's like, God, you haven't been number one in my life, but I want to honor my parents today. And the way that I honor them is to show that you're the most important thing. And maybe you need to make that decision today. Say, God, you're the one I want first and foremost in my life, and you're the one I need most above all. And God, I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. And God, I need your forgiveness. And I need you to be Savior of my life. And I need you to be the Lord of my life. Maybe that's the decision that you need to make today, to find salvation in God because of your sin. Or maybe you just need repentance because you're like, Danny, I'm a believer, but man, I haven't been the best parent, or I haven't been the best child in my life. And maybe I just need to seek forgiveness in those areas. And if so, then maybe this is the time to do that. But whatever it is, I just pray that you're obedient to what God's calling you to do. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this command and how it challenges us to be better followers of you, Father. Lord, I pray for the hearts of our people today. Lord, they may be here, and Father, maybe they feel discouraged about where they are in their relationships. And Father, I pray that you will mend the relationships that are broken. And Lord, that they're able to have those conversations. And Lord, I just pray ultimately as a church and as the believers here, Lord, that we just say, Lord, you're primary, Father. And the way that we honor our parents is just by saying, Lord, that you're the most important thing in our life. So, Father, wherever our hearts are, Lord, I just pray that you reveal them to us. And, Father, that you give us the power and the strength to obey what it means to honor our parents. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.